Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland and Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is the show where we hear from farmers, processors, chefs, hunters, and thinkers. We'll be talking about food, which is almost as good as eating it. Today, we start off in Clarenville. Take the road along the shore, up Balbo Drive. It's a scenic road named after an Italian general who, along with 24 hydroplanes, spent the night there in 1933 on his way between Rome and Chicago. Head toward the Bonavista Peninsula, go past George's Brook till you hit Route 230, then go north, right through Morley's Siding, don't miss it now, toward Lethbridge. You'll notice on the west side of the road a farm and shop and stable and a few signs. You've arrived at Three Mile Ridge. We're here today to find out more about this place and its people. It's a hot day in July, too hot really. After leaning on the fence and talking about the stock for a while, we head into the kitchen. Come on along, sit down at the table with us. We'll have a bit of a chat.
My name is Krista Chapman, and we are at Three Mile Ridge, which is a farm I started 11 years ago. And I took it over from, actually it was lying dormant for about 30 years, but my grandfather, William Reeder, originally owned it, and we're actually sitting in his house.
That's cool.
Which I have kind of redone. We're in the process of doing it. We purchased the property off my family, but we were already farming before we had owned the property. And so 11 years ago, I started vegetable farming. Originally, what I wanted to do, I was actually living here in the basement apartment of this house and raising my two children, which were very small, and wanted to take care of my grandparents. So I had no income, and I wanted some income for myself. Mm-hmm. And here's all this land sitting back there. So I said, you know what, I'm going to try this acre of land, and it's just right there outside the door, and I can take the kids out with me. I can work that, and I can come in and take care of my grandparents. So that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So my first 2 years, everything died. It was a flop.
It was a learning experience.
Every step of the way. Through the jigs and reels, my third year into farming, I made $791.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You kept going, though.
I did. So that's the thing about farming. Yeah. Yeah. You get to try it again every year.
Yeah.
And you learn from your mistakes the year before. So I'd say, you know, 75% of what I've learned from experience, and the rest of it I've learned from my father and his father.
Yeah, yeah. Now, people heading up 230 Bonavista and they turn left, get into your place, they'll see more than just vegetable gardens. You've got quite a spread here now. How did that all evolve?
Well, we are self-sustainable in our own meat.
Okay.
But there are certain animals that we like to keep. So the rabbits happened, they were dropped off in a basket.
Yeah.
And then we like geese, so these geese out here that you've seen are actually new. And our horses, they kind of evolved over time.
Yeah.
Some of them are acquired through the means of rescue and things like that. Mm-hmm. And others, we purchase it right out of the 7 horses we have. We only purchase 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they are our stress relief.
Okay.
We don't go camping. We don't go on bikes or quads or anything like that. We don't pay on any of that.
Yeah.
Instead, we take a horse and we go horseback riding.
So you have, it's a bit of a experience that people have as well here. You have the 3 Mile Ridge experience. At least I saw that in the web.
Yes. So we're starting that now in August.
Yeah.
So every year before, when our harvest was ready to be harvested, we wouldn't sell it to the public quite yet. Dad and I would take a bag and we'd go out to the fields and we harvest all of our own root crop together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd bring it back and Mom would have the pot going on an outside cook stove.
Mm-hmm.
And we would clean up the vegetables and put it in the pot outside. So then we'd sit down outside, have authentic jigs dinner that we just harvested.
Mm.
Excellent.
So that's a tradition that we have.
What
we're going to do, we're going to invite people in and they can book tours and everything. So it's going to be a hike included in it. So it takes about an hour to harvest the vegetables because all of our vegetables are lined off. Like our farm is like an L shape.
Mm-hmm.
So on the top part of our L, we'll go and harvest all the vegetables and we'll go down through a valley in a little hike and we'll get to a cabin. Down by the cabin, Mom and Dad will be waiting with the pots on the stove in an outdoor cookhouse.
Right, right.
boiling with the salt beef in it.
Playing a banjo.
Pretty much. Well, mom plays, so we're good. So, and then we'll teach like everyone how to properly pair their vegetables and put them in their own individual pots with their own little bit of salt beef. And once all of that is ready and in the pots, we'll take our scraps back up through the other side of the L shape of the farm. We'll go visit all of the animals, see the other half of the farm, and we'll feed out some of the scraps to the animals along the way. So then that's another hour. So by the time we get back down to the cabin, Jig's dinner's ready, and you can eat it at the cabin overlooking the pond.
That sounds like a great experience. So there's another project you're working on that's taken like 100 hours a week of your time lately. That is the Clarenville Farm and Marketing.
Farm and Marketing, Clarenville.
So where did that come about?
Well, I tell you, it's an interesting story. Back in 2015, 2016, it started, and it originally started. So Keith Party, who co-owns the Clarenville Inn, along with his brother Rick Party, they co-own the Clarenville Inn. And then Steve Cardolis owns Stella Kitchen, which operates out of the Clarenville Inn. Yep. So Keith came into Steve's kitchen one day and said, "Hey, how is it going, Steve?" And Steve was complaining of produce costs.
Okay.
So Keith picked up a carrot and said, "Well, where did this carrot come from?" And Steve went and looked, and it was from Israel. So Keith said, "I'm pretty sure you can buy this local. I'm pretty sure they grow carrot in Newfoundland." So they went on a hunt. Let's go for, you know, originally it was going to be, they wanted to farm. He said, "I got an acre of land over the west of the hotel, and it'd be all right, you know, we could farm this. Let's all put all the inputs into it, and then we'll sell what we grow out of it to you, Steve, in the kitchen. Then you can actually advertise farm to table." That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So it kind of evolved. They needed a farmer. So they stopped into our store. So the whole posse walked into my store and lined off the walls and started asking me about farming. And I said, "Yeah, I farm. My husband too now. He came on 7 years ago with me." So told him what we were doing, and he told me his idea. But as he was looking around my store, because in my store it is a farmer's market, so we sell our vegetables there, but I also sell the wares and everything that other Newfoundlanders make. So we have, you know, we got the cheese, we got the spices, we have knits, we have paintings, soaps, all made by Newfoundlanders. So when Keith was looking around, he said, "This is what I want. I want a market." So it was a farm first and a market after. So this is why we have farm and market. So the idea collaborated, and he asked if I would be on board with such a thing, and I was tremendously excited about it because I like promoting agriculture in general. So being an advocate, I was, "Yes, let's do
nice
this."
Advocate.
And we started having meetings, Steve and Keith and me and my husband, and eventually Keith has, you know, picked some people to be part of a board. A nonprofit board was made, and key people were brought into that, like Ability Employment was brought into that. They are fantastic partners in this endeavor. And as well, well, I stayed on as the farmer, and originally I was just a volunteer board member. And we were looking for a person to manage it. So they had to have farming skills, they had to have organizational skills, they had to have people skills to get out and find vendors to be at this market. And they had to have skills that could oversee staffing. It's a lot of skills. Well, apparently they're all in me. And I didn't know that until it was pointed out by somebody else, which is actually Daniello of the St. John's Farmers Market. So he was out. And we were saying, "Hey, we need a manager, Daniello. We need someone like you. We need to clone you." And Daniello was saying, "I don't know what she's talking about because she's right there in front of you."
But it's part of your larger mission to promote, to be an ag-vocate, to promote agriculture in the region.
Yes. Yeah. And like, even if, you know, I have some people coming in, they talk to me about their gardens and everything in my store or at the market, and they're saying, well, I have this, you know, this little garden in the back of my house, and now it's growing and growing. So I say, okay, well, keep growing your little garden, and eventually you'll have enough so that you'll be able to harvest it and come to the market and sell it.
Yeah.
What a fantastic thing to do.
It is, yeah.
Right?
What do you listen to on your Walkman? What's a song that I could play in the background for this?
I listen to a lot of stuff. Generally, I listen to music that connects with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times, country songs connect with what I'm doing. Like Florida Georgia Line got this song called Dirt.
Okay.
I really like that song. So if that could be the one that was played, it's actually quite relevant to my story.
Okay.
Right? Because how I took over my grandfather's farm and the red soil clay I grew up on, you know? Yeah. That's kind of what I do.
You get your hands in it, plant your roots in it, dusty headlight dance with your boots in it. Tires on it, build your cornfield whiskey bonfires on it. You bet your life on it.
It's open now, the new building. You started your market in June?
Yes, June. Yes.
Open till December?
Yep, December 22nd, June 23rd, December 22nd.
And you have, there's a greenhouse there, some gardens, some raised beds that you're working on?
Yep. So there are 80 feet long, 4 feet wide raised beds. They're 4 feet high.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're down in the back. There are some more raised beds that we put together. It actually looks like an M from this way or a W from that way. Market, I guess you can call it. And then we actually have a root cellar, an Elston-style root cellar. And Sid, who is the guy that put the rocks and everything on the facing of it, sent up by the town of Elston because we partnered with them in this. Mm-hmm. So what we're showcasing when we come in, we kind of call it our education center. What we showcase is here we have our propagation, then we have our growing, then we have our storage.
Oh, nice.
It's as easy as that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a signage right next to the root cellar that states, you know, if you want to see more cellars like this, then all you got to do is go a 19-minute drive down the Bonavista Highway. So we're encouraging tourists and visitors to go down to Bonavista Peninsula. So we kind of want to direct traffic down the highway.
One of the big things we're trying to do, or the province is trying to do, is to get more new entrants. So these could be young people, could be second career farmers, could be anything. Because you were a new entrant at one time.
I was.
Maybe you still feel like you are, because you're only
a decade.
No, I
feel a little seasoned.
You're seasoned, okay. How can we make that more possible, that we get more new entrants?
You know, Thomas Edison once said, opportunity is missed because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. So when it comes to opportunity, there are plenty of opportunities. It's raining post-it notes in our heads all the time about ideas and things that we could do. Mm-hmm. For me, my husband, it's the time to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not because we can't work to do it. We work. Mm-hmm. And the efficient amount we work, but the time that it takes to implement new ideas and things like that. Others that want to get into farming, once they start, don't realize how much work it actually takes to farm. And how much you got to consider. You got to consider the environment, you got to consider your soil properties, you got to consider the plants that you're growing, you got to consider your seasons and Mother Nature, and then you got a business to run. and I procrastinate the shit out of my bookwork. I'd rather work than sit down to the desk and do that.
Yeah.
Your inputs, like every year when we start our startup costs every year right now is at $20,000.
Yeah.
And we take it and throw it in the ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
And so then you don't get paid till August.
You've been involved at various levels, including the Federation and so on, and Young Farmers, and you know that the province is trying to do these 43 commitments to double food production and non-supply.
Yeah.
So if you got a phone call from the minister, he said, Krista, you know, you're pretty sharp. I need to know one or two things that we need to do to help make this possible. Do you have some optimism about a couple of things?
Well, not really.
Okay.
It's sad to say, and it's only because I've met a lot of champions in my life about things, and even in the recent year, someone who was gung-ho to, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up an abattoir, and I think our region needs an abattoir.
Yeah.
It would help me as a farmer who's right now we have to ship all of our livestock to St. John's.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the closest.
So that's what we will be doing tonight once our store closes. My husband and I got the trailer ready. All of our chickens are going aboard.
Yeah.
We're going to bring another friend's chickens aboard.
Yeah.
We're going to go to St. John's and have it done in a licensed facility.
Yeah.
Now, I can't even get back in to pick up the chickens until later. It's really inconvenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there was one on this region, wouldn't it be fantastic?
Yeah.
And how many more people would actually then jump on the bandwagon and say, well, I'm going to get down to the licensed facility so then I can come to the farmer's market and sell my meat?
Yes. Yeah.
So that in itself would increase food productivity. However, a lot of our regulations and everything and funding levels are not there.
Yeah.
So this champion, it's a couple who wanted to open an abattoir, had located the building and the land is own agricultural land. It was a perfect fit. So we had a couple of government representatives, like the livestock specialists and the slaughterhouse specialists and everything, down to look at the building, and they were over to it. It's like, wow, this is perfect, can't ask for no better. So then they had their business plan done, got funding for that to get the business planned on. However, for anyone to believe them was the problem. So now you go and you try to find money. So that's a lot of money to start a business.
Yeah.
Open up an abattoir and have it all done when you're sitting on a building and land.
Yeah.
Now you got to buy the building and land off the organization that owns it, and then you got to equip it into a slaughterhouse. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like $320,000.
Yeah.
Nobody would look at them.
Hmm.
And they tried everything. They went here, they're there. Nope, closed doors. So they just lost a substantial amount of money that they could have put somewhere else.
Yeah.
Instead, they just needed someone to believe in them.
Yeah.
And nobody did.
Yeah.
Except for me going around saying, no, you need to do this.
Yeah.
That's hard.
You mix some sweat with it, taking a shovel to it. You stuck some crosses and some painted gold posts through it. Some may return to the L-shaped red rose clay.
Of food has changed in the last 10 or 15 years or more, maybe here in Newfoundland and Labrador. What kind of questions do they ask about their food when you're at the market?
So that bandwagon that came con. So, well, one, organic.
Yeah. Do they
Big
understand
question.
What that means?
No.
Okay.
No one understands what being organic means.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is the proper definition of organic?
That's a good question.
Right? And local. So what's the proper definition of local?
Yeah, if
I would consider Newfoundland local.
Okay.
Some people would consider Bonavista Peninsula local.
Yeah.
Right? And other people, well, we're in a community of Lethbridge local.
Yeah. And when they ask about organic, it takes time. The farmer at the table or in their laneway has to take time saying, well, here's how we grow. And so they almost have to make a decision themselves. Is that right? Like the consumer, okay, this is organic for me. Because organic certification isn't really used here in the province.
No, it takes 3 years to get organically certified. For me and the products that I'm selling, I'm feeding my own children. I'm living off of it.
Yeah. We aren't even starting to talk about GMO, and I don't really want to go there. That's a whole other, in terms of understanding and so on.
Without GMOs, we wouldn't have food.
Right.
For the most part. Yeah. The carrots are not orange.
First time I read that, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Who decided that orange would be better?
It's what was selling.
I guess, okay.
So the farmer is growing carrots, and everybody is attracted to the orange carrots, so we started crossbreeding to eliminate... Yeah. These rainbow carrots, and then eventually the orange ones became more prominent, and that's what everyone thought a carrot was, orange.
And now they want rainbow carrots.
Right? We're going backwards.
That's right. Give those back.
Yeah.
But you talked earlier about your soil, wanting to make sure it's a regenerative process, and in some ways, I find that's a more useful definition when people are looking after the soil, maintaining plants in that, and mycorrhizal activity, and so on and so forth. And you can do that in a variety of ways, but really the end result of that is better soil, as you say.
Yes.
Ten.
So we actually, in one of our fertilizers that we put on our ground, we actually get the company that manufactures our fertilizer to throw in a micropack. It's feeding the microorganisms that's in our soil. The microorganisms get their food, so then they're able to better break down the nutrients in order for the plant to absorb it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a win-win situation. I'll feed you, you'll feed this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are your kids going to farm, do you think? Not that they're not here.
Right. Well, my oldest, Spencer, is fantastic in the store. Really good businessman.
Yeah. He can do the paperwork then for you.
Yes, he could.
Yeah.
He certainly could. I just got to get him trained in. It's a good idea. So... we'll get him. He works the store for me, but he's also this computer guy. He's fantastically smart. Quite proud of him. He's in Sea Cadet, so he's in Nova Scotia for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're certainly missing that child labor part of our business. And then our youngest son, William, he is one of the best operators we got.
Mm.
He can operate every piece of equipment here. He's been driving tractors since he was four.
Mm.
And I don't mean a small tractor. Yeah. I mean our tractor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, in the winter we had stored all of our implements across the edge of this field.
Yeah.
So once spring came, we got to get them removed so that we can work the ground. First thing, Will, go remove every piece of equipment and park it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he did. He knows how to hook them all up. He knows how to operate perfectly. He's a wonderful operator.
Yeah.
Do I think he's going to farm? Probably. Mm-hmm. But before he does, we don't force them to do anything on the farm because we don't want them sick of it.
Yeah.
So we don't push the farming on them, but I think he will farm just because it's in him, but it's not going to be vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's too much work.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be just like, you know, beef, cattle, dairy farm, something like that, where it's a lot of mechanics involved in it because he's a really good operator and he enjoys that.
Yeah.
But before he takes over the farm or any part of this business, he has to go get a trade first.
Oh, okay.
That's the agreement. And I don't care what trade it is, but you're going to go do a trade just because you need something to fall back on.
Yeah. We don't have any formal education in agriculture in this province.
No, which is a shame.
What kind of thing should they, like what kind of program should be created?
Plant science. Soil science, really.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. There's so much stuff you can do with animals. Like we have a diverse amount of animals here. Like if you've got egg layers like we have, what if something happens with them? So, you know, animal science in some way.
Yeah.
We always go to Google for our answers, and the answers are not always very specific, are they?
Yeah.
Because we live in a different region, a different time.
makes you want to build a 10% down white picket fence house on this dirt. You know you came from it.
I'm speaking with Krista Chapman. This was her song request. The band is the Florida Georgia Line. The song is called Dirt, and it resonates with Krista's experience. I'm not sure if you caught the last line of the chorus there. It's poetry indeed. It goes, makes you want to build a 10% down white picket fence house on this dirt. Back to our conversation with Krista.
What's your favorite food, local food?
Kohlrabi.
Kohlrabi.
Been growing kohlrabi for years. Actually, the first year we decided to sell it and just didn't keep it for ourselves. Yeah, I put it in the store and gave it away because people are afraid to try anything new.
That's what
I said too. So they're really afraid to try anything new. So they come in, look the spaceship, like, you know, vegetable and all the leaves off of it. And, you know, the bulb is high in potassium, the leaves are high in iron. It's a fantastic crop. Peel it like you would a turnip. Yeah. You can eat it raw. I love it raw. I love it making my coleslaw out of it instead of cabbage. I put it in cooked dinner. I matchstick it and put it in stir fry. I do everything with kohlrabi. I love it.
How's it going now? Are people starting to...
Yes. Yes. So last year at the market, like I'm after doing it here, having a tray of kohlrabi matchsticks with the dip and everything so people could try it. We give farm tours to the schools and everything. And after the tour, I would have it ready in the fridge and I'd bring it in and I'd try this. And once all the kids tried it and really loved it, I'd show them what it was.
Yeah.
This is how you just age. Right? Yay. Surprise. So when we had it at the market last year, and I grow it at the market too, and people were, what is that? So we had some that weren't so pretty and they got growth cracks and everything in it. So we sent it up to the kitchen and Keith, our chair, went around with it matchstick and some dip. Try it out. And so then sales went through the roof for kohlrabi. Oh, right? Excellent. I always spent a full year giving it away in my store and nobody would come back and buy it. But now, you know, they tried it. It's better.
So it's a Wednesday, middle of the day. What does a farmer like you do this afternoon other than just don't mow the lawn because it's too hot? But
we'd be weeding.
You'd be weeding.
Yeah, when the sun starts to go down, we're going weeding.
Weeding, yeah.
Yeah.
This is not going to sound very romantic to people who are thinking of going into farming.
You know what? It's a different mindset. You can't think of it as work or a chore. Honestly, I find it tremendously relaxing.
Yeah.
And I zone out.
Yeah.
And I get to think about things that I need to think about. I need to take the time to think about.
Yeah.
So I put my headphones in. And I put my phone in the back pocket. I got my knee pads on. I don't stand up and bend over. I crawl on the ground.
Yeah.
Thoughts are flowing, and I'm just picking at weeds, and I'm seeing to my plants.
You should add to all of the things that you do here, the Three Mile Ridge Zen Center.
Yeah.
For weeding.
For weeding.
I think that would work.
That's a good thing.
Thanks so much for taking time out of your
But
very therapeutic schedule.
Yeah, weeding therapy. It is therapy for me, but you know, I never thought it would be. It could be therapy for others. Certainly could.
You could get paid for letting other people weed. That's the key.
Oh my gosh! What a business plan that is.
Go on, here we go.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
That was Krista Reeder Chapman, recorded in July of 2018 in her kitchen at Three Mile Ridge. Visit her sometime. Ask her how the Zen Weeding Project is going. This has been Fit to Eat. If you have questions or comments, email me at fittoeatnl, that's all one word, fittoeatnl@gmail.com. The music for this show included Florida Georgia Line doing Dirt by request from Krista. The theme music was Cluckold Hen, done this week by Allison Krauss and the Union Station. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications with the support of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture and Food First NL. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Take care. Happy trails.